spanning the Valley of the Sun and all across the 48th state. This is the Gatos and Chad Show.
Happy, 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 fantastic Friday. All right, the Gatos and Chad Show. Chad's off. Wise man Steve Zinsmeister is in. And we've got a lot to talk about.
It's good because a lot of people are stuck in traffic.
A lot of people are stuck in traffic, trying to get out of Phoenix, maybe going to California or Rocky Point or up north.
We'll keep you company.
We'll keep you company. So, a lot of people also headed to Sky Harbor.
Sure.
And very busy this morning. And it's going to be busy. And a lot of people are traveling. I saw something like... Gosh, I'm so bad with this number. There was a number of Arizonans. I think it's a million Arizonans are traveling during Memorial Day weekend. There are two really weird airline stories that we have to get to. The first one is, did you see the Southwest pilot who had to crawl into the cockpit window?
Yeah, he accidentally locked his keys inside.
I don't know.
He had to crawl in through the cockpit window.
What do you mean you have to crawl in through the cockpit window?
I don't know, he got locked out. I don't know how that happened.
He got locked out? Yeah. How do you get locked out of a plane?
It's like I said, he left the keys in the cockpit, I think. I don't know.
So he wound up crawling through the cockpit window after a customer inadvertently locked the flight deck door.
Who lets the customers do that?
I don't know.
Man.
So there was a passenger getting ready to board, saw the plane's pilot crawling through the window. Do you say something? I'm saying something. I'm thinking, I don't know if that's the pilot.
Well, okay.
I know he's dressed like the pilot.
Right. He's wearing a uniform.
No one gets into a plane like, I'm aging myself, like Bo and Luke Duke did in Dukes of Hazzard when they got into the General Lee. They got in through the window. The door didn't open.
Listen, I think we can trust this guy. If it was like Leslie Nielsen or something, I think we'd probably have to alert somebody. But, I mean, he was also helped up. I mean, you can't just get into the front of an airplane. Like, you know how high up that is.
I know.
You can't just get up there. So he had one of those guys on the tarmac help him get up to the cockpit window to climb
in. I didn't
in.
Even know in the cockpit you could open a window.
I don't think you're supposed to.
Well, he did. So I'm looking at a picture of this. You know, in some airports... where you actually walk onto the tarmac. You walk towards the plane, and then there's the stairs that you take up directly plane. These stairs that the pilot took went directly into an open window into the cockpit.
Bingo. Haven't you ever had to climb in the window of your car?
Of course.
You left your keys in there, or for some reason your door sticks.
It's not good. If you think that's bad.
And it is.
It's not as bad as this story. So, you're enjoying a flight, midway through the flight. It's a nice flight. Some guy gets up and says, you know what? I'm going to open that door. I'm going to open that commercial plane door right during the flight.
The emergency exit door.
Somebody did this in South Korea. It was an Airbus A321 jet carrying 194 people. Heading to a city that I can't pronounce. So here's the deal. You got a guy that's sitting in the emergency seat row, opens the door when the aircraft was about 700 feet from the ground and nearly 2 minutes from landing. He opens the door. Now, first of all, I was always told it's impossible to open the door.
That's what I thought.
Physics. All that stuff I know nothing about and didn't take in school. You just can't do it. You can't push the door open. It's impossible. There's too much air. There's too much, all that kind of stuff. But apparently,
there's
I guess if you're
too much air,
well,
that's
it's
not exactly
too,
it.
You know what it is. Like it's too heavy.
So it's pressure. It's
pressure.
Air pressure.
Thank you.
The average door, emergency exit door on an airplane is 6 feet tall, 3.5 feet wide.
Okay.
That means that door, any emergency air door, when pressurized in the cabin, is facing approximately 24,000 pounds of pressure.
See, that's
you would have to open that 24,000 pounds. A human person cannot do that.
That's how I wanted to explain it, but didn't have the knowledge to do so.
You're welcome. So, I got you covered. Now, that's at 36,000 feet. Now,
right.
This is, what'd you say, 700 feet above the ground?
Yeah.
You're still moving at hundreds of miles per hour.
But apparently you can do it.
I don't believe the story almost.
Okay, so what do you think happened?
I don't know. Did they stage this in a warehouse and they shot the video? I don't know.
Come on, conspiracy theorist.
You think? I don't know. We just talked about how impossible it is to open the door.
It's got
to
be different if you're 700 feet above and not 35,000.
I'm thinking there's still a ton of pressure.
Well, yeah, maybe the guy's strong.
He's the world's strongest man.
The video was of course, there's a video. It was shot by someone sitting three rows behind the emergency exit aisle. And so, man, I mean, you get a great, you know, awesome seat like that. You get some more room,
tons
right?
Tons of leg room.
Love the emergency exit door seat. But then you get a guy who opens the door. I'm just going to tell you, I'm choking this guy out. As soon if I'm
if
there,
he didn't jump out already.
Well, if I see a guy,
you tried
I'm,
to.
I'm just saying, if I'm sitting there and I see the guy start going for the door, I'm not waiting. I'm going to choke you. I'm going to put a WWE sleeper hold on
so
you.
So I guess part of the good thing is they were on their descent. They were on the way down. Like
right.
you said, you're only 700 feet or whatever above the ground.
Right.
So for that reason, at least you were landing. At least they didn't do it when you were taking off and you're going to be
I think
stuck there for a while.
Right, exactly.
But on the flip side, because they were landing, that's why nobody was able to get to the guy to stop him.
It's
because all the pilots are busy, obviously, landing the plane, hopefully.
Right.
And the crew was already tucked away and they're in their seatbelts and everything.
12 injured.
Yeah.
Guy opens
a lot of people couldn't breathe.
Emergency door. Yeah. Some people's ears started to hurt. The severe ear pain. Because there's video of it. There are people like holding on and crying and screaming for dear life because it's, let me just say, in the cabin, bit windy when that door opens.
I would think so.
Yeah.
You're going hundreds of miles per hour.
Question.
Answer.
Is, Governor Katie Hobbs difficult to work with? So here's the deal.
Maybe.
Governor Hobbs, what is it? Now, four people have left her administration. Is that what it is?
I think it's four, like, top aides to the governor.
So let's see. January, February, March, April, May. She's been in for 5 months.
Right.
And so about every month, somebody leaves. Well, who left yesterday?
Yesterday, it was your chief of staff, Allie Bones, who's a person that...
That's an awesome name.
Allie Bones.
That is a great name.
That'd be a good wrestler name.
That would be a good wrestler's name.
She's a close personal friend of the governor. They met when they were both social workers.
Mm-hmm.
She was the deputy secretary of state when Katie Hobbs was secretary of state. So this is a person that is very familiar with the governor. I actually don't think there's anything nefarious going on here. I think, if anything, it's probably a situation where the governor says, hey, I'm going to get elected. I need the people that I'm most comfortable with around me for my first session. Which is what this is, by the way.
Yeah.
The budget just got signed or figured out.
Mm.
So she's basically done legislatively, policy-wise. This is the time when people jump ship on an administration. Jan Brewer, her chief of staff, left after a handful of months. Fife Symington, same thing. Governor Ducey was the opposite. His first chief of staff stayed on for about 4 years. So these things happen.
Okay.
I don't think it's nefarious. Could be.
I mean, I don't see anything. Some people make such a big deal of it. I don't know. You got to bring people in. If you find out it's a bad fit early on, let's move on. Let's get a better fit. I don't see it as that big of a deal. I don't see like it's, oh, she's hard to work with. I have no idea. I've met her one time in studio. I've met her one time and interviewed her in studio once. We've had her on the phone a few times, but I have no idea. I don't know her. I don't know if she's difficult to work with. I don't know. Most of these politicians... they have people that are close to them.
She doesn't strike me as hard to work with. And hard to work with can be several different things, right? It doesn't mean that they're mean necessarily. It could be somebody who just demands out of a lot of the people that work with them.
Yeah, do the job.
Cinema
I don't care.
Has been certainly accused of that.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of politicians.
It happens sometimes. I don't think this is nefarious, but I'm guessing it's a situation where she said, hey, stick with me for the first year or the first session, and then you get to tell your future employer, I was the governor's chief of staff. Looks pretty good on a resume.
All right, coming up next. Are you more likely to vote for a candidate? Let me rephrase this. Are you more likely to vote for a candidate or against a candidate? There you go. It's the Gatos and Chad Show.
The Gatos Big Q poll question, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers.
All right, check out KTAR.com for the Gatos Big Q poll question of the day. You can also hear it, hear me on with Mike Broomhead at 8:50. It's talking to Broomhead today, 20-year anniversary of his brother's death in Iraq. So as we go into Memorial Day, let's remember Mike's brother. Put his life on the line for his country, and I'll be thinking about my buddy Mike Broomhead this weekend. I'll be holding up a glass and toasting to his brother. And for all of you who've lost somebody at war, who served our country, boy, are we grateful. Boy, are we grateful. So that's a little bit what I was talking to him about today. As for the poll question, it was a little different. It was, what was the biggest news story of the week? All right. So I give you four. Biggest news story of the week. A, Governor Hobbs denies the water to Rio Verde foothills.
Catchy headline. Governor denies people water.
Oh, she did.
Yeah.
I don't think it's catchy. I think it's true. I think she could have just...
It's a damning headline.
It's because it's her fault she didn't sign it. I mean, it's damning for a reason. I mean, just make the problem go away. Sign the damn bill. Well, it's not that hard. And then people can have water in June in Arizona. Let's see. B, Tina Turner died.
Huge story.
Yeah. Huge story. C, a Target LGBTQ situation. What a mess that is.
Certainly made a lot of people angry.
Yeah. And last one, no deal in the debt ceiling.
That one hurts your wallet the most.
It could.
Out of the four.
It's interesting to me that 47% think no deal in the debt ceiling is the biggest story. I would actually put that as the fourth biggest story. I'd put all the other ones before it. That's just me.
I think Tina Turner. It got the most people talking. It doesn't necessarily mean I think it's the most important of those four stories in terms of how it impacts me, but right. I think that's the one that got the most people talking this week. Yeah. Everybody talking about Tina Turner, her legacy, what she meant to music.
No doubt.
We talked about her, the rest of her legacy as well. So,
Tina Turner came in second, 28%, so go and vote on the Big Q, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers. So, here's an interesting question. Are you more likely to vote for a candidate or against a candidate?
Well, that's the thing is elections are no longer popularity contests.
I don't remember the last
They're
time
now
I voted
popularity contests.
I don't remember the last time I voted for a candidate.
Okay, so let's go back through it. We just voted for governor in Arizona. I did not feel strongly in favor for Hobbs. I voted for her, but it was more of a vote against Carrie Lake. I'm going to be honest. Wow. Last presidential election. I didn't feel strongly in favor of Biden, but I voted for him because I voted against Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people did the same thing in 2016 between Trump and Hillary. This is what elections have become, and it's really revealed in the new poll from Monmouth University, which shows that 45% of voters say they would definitely not vote for either Biden or Trump in an upcoming election. By comparison,
yeah.
3 in 10, roughly 30%, say they definitely would support either candidate. So 30% say I would vote for either Biden or Trump, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And 45% say I'm not voting for either one. Definitely not.
Yeah, if you get Democrats out there and they say, yeah, I'm not voting for Joe Biden again. You will if he's going up against Donald Trump. And it's the same on the other side. Well, you have some Republicans out there. Oh, listen, I can't vote for Trump again. You will if he's running against Joe Biden. See, that's the thing. There's not, I get that Trump has a small, core of voters who will always go with him. But again, that's gotten smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller every single year. That's why I call Trump a has-been. You know, in 2015, he had lightning in a bottle. He deserved to win the election. Hillary was garbage. That was a terrible campaign. Trump ran a brilliant campaign. He deserved to be president. He deserved to win. But I think he's a has-been. And Joe Biden was probably a never-been. And so you look at these two guys and you're like, there's got to be, this is the United States of America. We have hundreds of millions of people here. And we've got garbage to vote for. We've got two people who shouldn't be anywhere near the Oval Office. One guy doesn't even realize he's in the Oval Office. The other guy should never be in the Oval Office again.
Can't remember the last major election where I voted for someone instead of against.
That's
what this is.
Yeah.
That's what elections have become. Hey, it's Skin Cancer Awareness Month. Maybe you're outside golfing or you spend a lot of time doing landscaping or construction. Well, Chad actually got his skin checked by Dr. Mullins through the Arizona Skin Cancer Foundation, and now is the perfect time for you to do the same. It's easy. It takes no time at all. Just check out our video at KTAR's YouTube page right now. Make sure you visit skinexam.org to learn more.
All right. We are about 6 minutes away. Becky Lynn is going to read the news at 3:30. We are going to interrupt and react to the day's top stories that she is reading. It's something we like to call holding up the headlines. We do it every day at 3:30, and it's just around the corner, so stick around.
Arizona's news station. News station. K-2-5. KTAR on air, 92.3 FM, online at KTAR.com, and streaming live on the KTAR News app. Your breaking news and traffic now.
It's 3:30, and you know what that means. It's time for us to hold up the headlines. Let's get some headlines from Becky Lynn.
If you're planning on throwing a party in an Airbnb this weekend, think again. The company's cracking down on its party ban for Memorial Day. Ben Bright with Airbnb says even if the owner of the house is informed, that party is still not allowed.
So if there's a property where parties are happening, it's not just one time, but a number of times, and it's becoming disruptive for the neighborhood, that's just not a property we want on our platform.
Bright says the party ban started in 2020 to cut back on home damages and neighborhood disruption.
Holding up the headlines. Becky Lynn reads the news while Gatos and Chad interrupt and react to the day's top stories.
Yeah, I know some people who live near Airbnbs, and it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare because people will go and use those homes to party, and they're not supposed to. And, you know, what about the one that happened 5 days ago? People are taking guns and shooting in the air in the middle of the night. You know, there's a reason that Airbnb, what, 3-4 years ago said, yeah, you're not allowed to have parties. You're trashing the house. You're keeping everybody up and you're giving us a bad name, but I don't know how you stop it. I don't know how you stop somebody from, you know, going to get in an Airbnb and stopping them from having a party.
I live next door to one pretty large house, mm-hmm. 2 stories, clearly designed for 10 plus people to stay there at a time. We don't have a lot of issues. I'm not saying that it can't happen. Obviously it can. And maybe I'll regret saying this.
You're lucky.
Even over the weekend.
Right.
Usually what it is it's people out in the pool at 11 o'clock at night when you're like, dude, I'm trying to sleep. But yeah, these big parties, they can't happen.
We're holding up the headlines.
Let's go back to the newsroom now, where Ballant Overstoles is standing by to tell us more about what's going on at area lakes over this holiday weekend.
Becky, Rob Marski with the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office says more people coming to the valley puts pressure on search and rescue efforts at places like Lake Pleasant.
Our resources haven't increased just like it would to meet the demands of the public moving here.
It's not just the growing city, but right now the environment and high water level pose challenges too.
It's going to loosen up the debris that's on the shoreline, so you're going to see more floating debris, and it is a boater's responsibility to operate their watercraft at a safe speed.
Live in the news center, Ballant Overstoles, KTAR News.
Yeah, we had a couple last year, a couple deaths at Lake Pleasant early. I mean, I remember that. It was either last year or a year ago. You remember that, Becky Lynn?
I do.
Yeah.
Boating incidents.
You got to be careful because, you know, you've got alcohol. You know, you've got some folks who might not know what they're doing, you know, in a boat and how you, you know, when you go to the lake, you got to be really, really careful. And there were several deaths, if I remember correctly. So don't be one of them. Be careful.
And a lot of times it's people jumping in. You know, they'll get up on the rocks and jump in, and then they just never resurface.
Yeah. No good. Yeah. Be careful. We're holding up the headlines.
As the pass goes into the end zone.
DeAndre Hopkins' time in the desert has come to a close. The Arizona Cardinals have released the wide receiver today. Hopkins had been the subject of trade rumors and had skipped the team's first week of offseason practices. The Cardinals acquired Hopkins in 2020 from Houston. Now, he missed 6 games last season due to a suspension concerning illegal use of performance-enhancing drugs.
You couldn't get anything? You couldn't get anything in a trade for DeAndre Hopkins.
Nothing.
Still the Cardinals' best player, by the way, especially offensively. Here's what happened. He has a large price tag. He didn't play in a lot of games over the last 2 seasons because of his suspension and injuries and choosing not to play and choosing not to practice. And I think that the temperature in the room got too hot and they decided, you know what, we would rather pay a bunch of money for you to leave than pay a bunch of money for you to make our team any better next season.
So watch this. The Cardinals are the worst team in football right now. Everybody says it. I'm not the only one. They're in a total rebuild. There'll be a first place team that picks up DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, that's what really stinks about this. He's going to go play for a title contender.
Yes, he will.
He's going to be amazing.
But he wasn't good enough to play in the Cardinals,
apparently. Yeah, exactly.
We're holding up the headlines. We do it every day at 3:30. Becky Lynn reads the news. We react and discuss the day's top stories.
A bank robbery attempt was stopped in a most extraordinary way with a hug. This brave act of kindness happened near Sacramento when Michael Armas was there making a deposit, and he noticed the customer next to him, claiming to be armed, was a former neighbor. So Armas stepped in, suggested they go outside and have a little talk,
and he gave him a hug.
I felt compassion for the man. You know, I mean, what could happen to this guy to make him want to go in there and just throw his life away?
Well, the man confessed to Armas he was doing this because he didn't have a job. Police were called at the scene, and it ended without any violence.
What was it, like a wrestling bear hug that got him to submit, or was it an actual, listen, I'm going in for the hug, let's hug it out.
Taking you to the ground.
I think it was just a, hey, bud, I feel your pain kind of thing.
See, if
I was the guy who said, listen, go back in there, steal, you know, take the money, and give me like 25% of it.
And I'll let you off the hook.
Yeah. That is a weird one.
Isn't that a weird story?
Yeah, and you know what? If you don't have a job, it doesn't mean you rob a bank.
No.
You know what I mean?
And I doubt the guy would have done this had he not recognized him as a former neighbor.
Was he armed?
Yes, he claimed to be.
Claimed to be armed. My gosh.
This doesn't bode well for the bank robber. He's going to have really bad street cred from here on out. Like, a hug, dude? Come on.
We're holding up the headlines.
Elon Musk's brain implant company, Neuralink, says it's gotten permission from U.S. regulators to start testing its device in people. The company made the announcement on Twitter last night. The FDA not confirming or denying they granted the approval, but they did acknowledge the announcement. Now, Neuralink is one of many groups working on linking the nervous system to computers. The Neuralink device is about the size of a coin. It's designed to be implanted in the skull, and Musk has previously said one of the first applications in people would be an attempt to restore vision.
Yeah, I mean, I know that, like, politically, some people don't like Elon Musk, but this is what we need. We need visionaries like this. We need, you know, is it scary that you're going to try it on humans? Of course it is. Of course it is. But, you know, I'll give you an example. I do a lot of work with the ALS Association of Arizona. And this is a disease where you can't move your limbs. You can't do anything. Your brain is fine. You can't move a single muscle in your body, and it's horrific. And you basically end up choking to death because you can't eat anymore. You can't swallow anymore. This could help that one day. So is it scary? Well, of course it's scary.
Yeah, it is.
But, you know, what's the downside?
I don't know.
It doesn't work?
They're implanting something in your brain.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a computer chip.
Yes.
You don't know what else at some point could be on that or in that. I don't know.
I could go wrong. You don't know what the side effects are.
Well, here's the thing. You're not putting it in somebody's body who is healthy. You know, if you came down with such a horrific disease and they say, listen, we're going to try a chip in your brain.
You'd be willing. You'd say, sure, give it a try.
What do I have to lose? They're not going to test it on somebody who needs it.
Yeah, they're not going to test it on people that are healthy. So, I mean, we need visionaries like this. But yeah, it's scary.
It is. I just think, what does the future hold?
Yeah.
It could be good for now, and it could be something bad later.
This will work, and then they'll start putting it in people who are just fine.
Yes, that's exactly.
And then what does that do?
And what do they do?
Pretty sure that's an episode of Black Mirror.
It is. I'm pretty darn sure it is.
That's what worries me.
We're holding up the headlines. All right, that'll do it for holding up the headlines. Every day at 3:30, Becky Lynn reads the news. We interrupt, react to the day's top stories. It's brought to you by CarolsTheBuyers.com. Carol Royce, your home sold guaranteed realty. All right, coming up next, why this current version of Ron DeSantis can't beat Trump. Next.
It's the Gatos and Chad Show.
All right, the wise man's in for a Chad. Chad's got the day off to be in next week. Wise man doesn't like DeSantis, apparently.
Wow. Off to a bad start.
Well, I don't think he's off to a bad start. Are you referring to the fact that when Ron DeSantis said, I'm going to announce my presidency on Twitter, and then Twitter basically shut down, and it didn't work right, and it was late, and it was...
Honestly, I don't even really care how
I don't care
announce.
About... Okay,
I really don't.
So why don't you like the guy?
My initial thing about why I didn't like his announcement... So the first interview he did, he was asked about Ukraine-Russia. That's going to be an important topic, by the way, for most candidates to answer.
Okay.
Because I got to be honest with you, I think by 2025, when this person takes office, whoever it may be, I think this conflict is still going to be going on.
Could.
I think that's a real possibility. Or if not, we're at least going to be cleaning up after. And so to be asked about something so serious, I think that's a legitimate question. And he went down that, well, our military is being politicized and it's very, very woke right now and we need to get away. And I was like, how is that the topic of conversation?
Do you have the clip?
I do have the clip. Here, you want to hear some of it?
Yeah. So this was what? Was he on Fox News?
This is Fox News. He was talking with Trey Gowdy, you know, that former Congress guy.
No.
Yeah, I know you don't. Legitimate question. You be the judge. Is it a legitimate answer?
Right. How would you address the ongoing war in Eastern Europe between Russia and Ukraine on day one of a Ron DeSantis presidency?
Well, first, I think what we need to do as a veteran is recognize that our military has become politicized. You talk about gender ideology. You talk about things like global warming that they're somehow concerned in. That's not the military that I served in.
If you're a former veteran, you should have something better to talk about with the military than woke ideology and gender theory and all this other stuff. That's not what people in the military are talking about.
Okay. Can you play some more?
We need to return our military to focusing on commitment, focusing on the core values and the core mission. That would be something that I could take care of on day one. There'll be a new sheriff in town as commander in chief, and I think you'll see recruiting start to get back to where it needs to be because people don't want to join a woke military.
34-second clip. How many times did he say Ukraine?
None.
How many times did he say Russia?
None. But you have to. But also, you have to remember, politicians don't answer anybody's questions.
I know. That's the problem.
Listen,
though.
We don't bring politicians on this show a whole lot, and there's a reason. Because when you ask them a question, they answer it the way they want to. And then, of course, you'll hear me ask it again. Right? I'll double down.
Or even say to the guy, hey, listen, that doesn't answer my question.
And how many times have you heard me say that?
All the time.
All the time. But then you ask it a second way, they'll answer it the way they want to. They don't care.
How many times did Governor Ducey do that to us?
He did it a lot.
He's an expert dodger of questions.
Well, listen, and you know what? Same with Hobbs. She's going to answer the questions the way she wants to answer them. So here's my thing. With DeSantis, he answered it the way he wanted to answer it. And basically what I got out of it was, hey, I'm a veteran and I'm going to fix the military. I don't think that's a terrible answer. All the woke stuff. I mean, I know that's
those
going
aspects,
on.
But they're hidden deep within the we're worried about the wokeism. And by the way, what's the one thing that general Americans know about Ron DeSantis? What's the big headline around Ron DeSantis over the last year?
Disney.
Or two? Disney, the fight over wokeism in Disney.
Right.
And I just don't care about that stuff.
A lot of people care about it, though. Here's the thing. A lot of people who are going to vote for him in the primary care about that stuff.
The primary, yes.
Well, that's all that matters right now.
This is where you're right, is that he's focused on the primary.
I'll say that again. I love that.
I hate saying that.
I know. No, I'm just saying, he doesn't care about the general.
Right now, he's fighting Trump.
That's it.
He's not fighting Biden yet.
Yeah, he's not trying
yet earned the right to do that.
You're kind of an independent. You voted for Republicans and Democrats. But
I've never been registered under either party.
Right, but here's the deal. He's not going after you. He doesn't need you. No. He doesn't need you yet. He doesn't need you yet. He needs the Republicans.
But when he needs me, let's say he wins the primary.
Then he'll make the turn to the middle.
He will change the messaging.
Right.
But I, being an independent voter and I think pretty self-proclaimed smart guy, will remember back to when he was asked about Ukraine, Russia, and he said, you know what? It's about wokeism.
But he'll give you a better answer the next time if he makes it through the general. He's got to beat Donald Trump now, and he's got to play his best game, and his best game is the woke stuff. It's the gender stuff. It's Disney. That's hardcore right stuff that people like.
And even though you're right, I don't have to like it.
No, you don't have to like it. You don't have to like it. He'd be better than Joe Biden. I'll tell you that right now. And I'm not a big fan of any of these guys. But I can't do Trump. I can't do Biden. So give me somebody new. I'll give DeSantis every opportunity for my vote.
I want to hear somebody talk about the stuff I care about. Even this debt ceiling stuff. I know it's probably pretty boring to a lot of people, but yeah. I mean, that's really going to impact a lot of people. We talked earlier about it essentially means if they don't get something done, figured out soon, they're not going to be able to pay military members.
Right.
That's something that if DeSantis had diverted into that, I would have been like, okay, now we're talking. If he had said, you know what, I think we really got to pull all of our assets out of Ukraine. I don't think we should be involved in that. I may disagree with him in principle, but at least he'd be talking about the topic at hand.
Yeah, remember, he doesn't know what to do on Ukraine. Most people don't. I mean,
well, I want to vote for somebody who has a plan.
Well, he's got to develop a plan.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's got a year and a half to do it.
He's got a year and a half to do it. So he's not going to say, listen, I have this figured out. He doesn't have that down yet.
I think you're right. I don't have to like it.
No, I think that DeSantis was talking to the people he needed to talk to, and they heard him. All right. Coming up next. This weekend, will you be grabbing some Bud Light at Target? Oh, geez. Next.